In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We're reading Mark 7:24. Yeah, this is beautiful scripture. It says, "And from there Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and of Sidon." So Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon. And it says, "He entered a house and would not have anyone know it." Isn't that telling? Jesus entered a house and didn't want anyone to know it. He's looking for some peace. You know, here is God, but also man. And the poor man is tired. He enters a house. He doesn't want anyone to know where he's going. This is just so human. This is so beautiful. Like, I've had enough. I've been pouring out. He went to a foreign land, Tyre and Sidon. And when he goes to this house, it says, he could not be hid. He could not be hid. You want to know why? He's the light of the world. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot grasp it. Oh, he's the light of the world. And where he is shows light. Where he is, there people are going to be drawn there. I'm going to tell you, where Jesus is, people are going to be drawn. Where Jesus is, he's going to be drawn. People will be drawn there. I'm not talking about sacramentally. I'm talking about his presence. I'm talking about his presence. Where you find the presence of God, people will be drawn. We have the Eucharist in the tabernacle, and we lock our churches, okay? But even when the churches are open, we don't have hundreds being drawn there. You know why? Because people don't believe anymore. They really don't believe anymore. They don't believe anymore that this is truly the Lord. You know, where you find Jesus, people are going to be drawn. But I will tell you, where you find the presence of God through worship and things are happening, people will be drawn. Because you know what? Everybody's looking for something. I remember a bishop saying that. That was so telling. I won't tell you which bishop it was, but it was outside the window at Milton Hospital, okay? And on the window is this, it just appeared, a picture of our Blessed Mother, okay? Beautiful picture of our Blessed Mother. And, you know, Father Martin and I went down there with a big crucifix, and I went down there with cassettes, and we're preaching the Word of God and giving out cassettes, you know, because you see where the people are, that's where the priest should be, because, you know, they're going to go look at a window. I want them to hear the gospel. You know what I'm saying? I want them to hear the gospel. So I made a CD, I made not a CD at that time, but a cassette at that time. And we're all, you know, we're all praying by the window, and I'm praying over people. Father Martin's praying over people. We're hearing confessions. We're doing what we need to do as priests. We have the cross with us, the big, big crucifix, you know. Let them know that this is what we're here for. Many people took our cassettes, but there was a bishop there. He wasn't dressed up as a bishop. And he sees all these people. And this is the statement that comes out of the bishop's mouth. These people must be looking for something. I wanted to say, of course, they're looking for something. They're looking for Jesus. The Greeks said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Yeah, they're looking for something, and they're not getting it in their local church. This is just real, okay? This is just real. They're not getting it in their local church, in most local churches. In some, they are getting it. I heard of a beautiful priest just last night. This beautiful priest ministers to this woman, young woman, who has mental problems, and will sit down with her and just keep on telling her she's okay and she doesn't have to be afraid. And I say, God bless that priest. God bless that priest for having compassion on people that no one have compassion on, the mentally ill. God bless that priest. God bless him. May his tribe increase. caring for the people that nobody else cares for. So Jesus could not be hidden because he's the light of the world. And there are always needs. There are always needs. And wherever Dr. Jesus went, the people would follow. You know, Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Wherever Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. And I tell you, Jesus is the little lamb. And wherever he goes, everybody follows. Because they need what he has. Because they lack so much. Shall I say, we lack so much. And so wherever Jesus is, people will go. They will go. They will go. And I'm going to tell you, there are going to be a lot of false Jesuses, a lot of false Christs. It tells us that in the Bible. You know, you always know if Jesus is the real Jesus when we talk about the power of the blood, the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection. When we talk about the manifest glory of God, you know, Jesus couldn't hide himself. But immediately, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of Jesus. And she came, and she fell down. She fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. She was a paganist. She was not a Jewess. She's a pagan. And she begged Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus said to her, "Let the children first be fed, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Jesus, how cruel. Look what it says. "Let the children first be fed, for it is not right to take the children's bread." What is the children's bread? Those who belong to God, the Father, through Christ. I tell you, healing and deliverance. The bread of the children, healing and deliverance. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. In the time of Jesus, anyone who was not a Jew was considered to be a dog. A dog. That was the culture. And they were treated like dogs. But this doesn't bother the woman, because she's got a daughter that needs something. And you can call her a dog all you want, and she'll even start barking. But she wants what she came for. But she answered Jesus, "Yes, Lord, yet even the crumbs, the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." In other words, if you just give me a crumb, that's enough for me. Just a crumb. Just a crumb. When Jesus called her a dog, that did not bother the woman. She had a daughter that was demonic, demonically possessed. And Jesus said to her, "For saying this, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed. And the demon was gone. That woman had heard about Jesus. And though he was hiding, her need for her daughter was going to find this miracle man, going to find this man of God. She'd heard he was in the neighborhood. It was her neighborhood. Where could he be hiding? She steals in the house. She steals in the house. And she gets at the feet of Jesus just like a dog. Just like a dog at the feet of Jesus. Listen, you call me a dog anytime you want. If I'm at the feet of Jesus, that's good for me. I don't mind being a dog at the feet of Jesus, I tell you. I don't mind that at all. And then she has a need. My daughter is possessed. Demons torture her. Let me tell you one good thing that's happening in the church in 2010. We're coming to the realization that demons are real. It's taken a long time, but at least in 2010, we're coming to that realization. You want to know what I'm going to tell you? I realized that the devil was real the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ. You did not have to convince me of a devil. No one had to theologically convince me of a devil. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I knew there was an enemy who tried to pursue me and to destroy me. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Oh, I could tell you stories. I could tell you stories how for years I would just be holding on to the horns of the altar, not knowing if I was going to make it through the day. For years and years. But the Lord is faithful. Faithful and true and wonderful and gets us through, and that even through suffering we learn. We learn through suffering. Not that we need to suffer anymore. This is a story of a mother who has love for her daughter, and she'll do anything in order for the daughter to get better. And thank God she finds Jesus. And I'll tell you one thing that Jesus cannot walk by. It's someone that has real faith. Someone that has real faith. He will not pass by that person. He will not. He will stop, and he will do what he needs to do. You see, faith is contagious. It's like the measles. You have to catch it. You've got to be where you find it. And can I say, you don't find it every place. You don't find faith every place. Faith is contagious. And it's caught. You can't teach it. Though faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You've got to be in a community that's got it. A people that believe. And will even believe when you don't believe. That's real. That's what it's all about. Because you know what? The man who's listening to me that's had 19 interviews and still has no job, I'm going to tell you that's discouraging. You need to be around people that are going to believe in the midst of the 19 rejections that the 20 or the 21st is going to work out. And God's going to open the door. And even if that person can't believe it, we can believe it for him. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've had people come to me and say, I don't have faith to get this fixed, to be healed. And I say, you know what? I'm not worried about your faith. I've got enough faith today to get it fixed in Jesus' name. I'm not worried about your faith. I'm going to apply my faith. Oh, yeah, I don't wait for people to have faith. Because you know what? They just don't have it, many people. But the people who have it, it makes it easier. But I'm not going to wait for it to happen. But you see, by praying and believing and then seeing something happen, immediately the faith muscle begins to grow. Doesn't take long. Doesn't take long. Doesn't take long. We were at a funeral the other day. Pat LaCola was buried the other day. And after the Mass, I sat down in the sacristy. And we prayed with Mary and Jean Rowe, and both their arms were healed. Both their arms were healed. Ellie just called me today, and I'm going to pray for her today in the name of Jesus. All these shingles are healed by the power of the blood. Anyone who has shingles now, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the precious blood, that the very roots of these shingles be healed now. Everything the devil wrote against you is canceled, blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. Be healed now of these shingles and all this agonizing pain. All this pain is healed by the power of the blood, as the blood of Jesus heals and cools all the infection and all the redness and soreness and pain. Healed by the blood of the Lamb. Healed now. Be healed now. Be healed now. It takes a little faith in order to see something happen. It takes a little faith. This mother had faith. She might have been a dog to the Jews, but she pleased God, because without faith it's impossible to please God. She pleased God that day. And she pleased the Lord, the Son of God, because you know what? He couldn't help but heal her, because faith drew it out of him. You see, Jesus' plan was never to heal the Gentiles. He was sent to heal and to bless and to preach to the Jews. That was his mission. That was his mission. That's why he said, first, I must have the children have the bread. But even faith drew this out of Jesus. The faith of a mother drew it out of Jesus. His mission was to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. And yet faith drew it out of Jesus. Whenever he sees that kind of faith, things begin to happen. And you can't pump up faith. You can't pump up faith. Your need for your children is enough. As you go to the feet of Jesus and say, you've got to do it. Because if my son continues to drink, he'll end up dead. You've got to do it. I can't believe you're not going to do it. You've got to do it. One more time, he's going to end up dead. You've got to do it, Jesus. When he sees that kind of faith, he responds to it. He responds to it. He responds to it. And should not our churches be places of faith, of faith? Is that not what it's all about? Unless I'm mistaken. It's not about playing bingo, okay? It's not about having raffles, okay? It's not about having cake sales, okay? It's about a faith community that believes that he is the Lord, that he gave his life for us, that he shed his blood for us, and that means he'll do anything for us. It's about people who rally around the cross and believe that the Master has greater desires to do this than we have any desire to ask him. Isn't it awful that one priest said to me, I'll tell you what he said to me. They were asking me, you know, how many people do you have coming to Mass in the morning? And I said, in the morning we don't have too many, maybe 6 or 7. In the evening last night we had about 15 or 20. He says, my church is filled in the morning. But I don't even know if they know why they're there. My church is filled in the morning, but I don't even know if they know why they're there. My Lord. My Lord. My Lord. I tell you, the people who come to our place know why they're there. Most of them are desperate like me. Most of them are desperate like me. They know why they're there. They come for something. They come for a touch from God. They've come because they're needy and they're poor. And this is the last stop for many people. And the Lord knows how to do things. He knows how to do things. Our Lord Jesus could not hide. And let me just tell you now, he's still not hiding. Because now he's at the Father's right hand. And his power at the Father's right hand is available for those who believe, for those who have faith, for those who will take it from him, who will draw it from him. That means you and me. You find yourself a Catholic community that has faith. You find yourself people that are going to pray with you. You find yourself people that will pray with you even when you have no faith. Because that's what it's all about. It's not about sitting in a seat for 40 years. It's about grace that produces faith, that produces love. This is what God wants in our churches, a vibrant community that loves God and loves each other. And today, let me just tell you, stop talking about the people in the church. Get a life. Get a life, please. Stop gossiping about the church. Get a life. Get a life. Start implementing your faith and do something positive. Get a life, okay? Get a life. Just get a life. It's time to grow up. And it's time to change your pew. And it's time for God to start working through you. We've had a couple of ladies here at this Day of Recollection said, you know, somebody in Kohl's, you know, Kohl's, the department store, they couldn't breathe. So she went up to the man and said, can I pray with you? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Somebody else said they were someplace else. Where were they? Well, they said they were where they were, but they prayed with somebody else, somebody's leg. That was Joan. Where were you? In a grocery store. You know, if you can't bring Jesus to the grocery store where they sell garlic and onions, let me tell you, you can't bring him to the church either. That's real. You see, we have to get Jesus and make him a lot bigger than just coming to church. That's the way it is. But you know, most people, as Marjorie Broccoli used to say, and she was right, even though she hated Catholics, she was right. She used to say, Tom, you know most of you Catholics. I'd say, yeah, Marge. You go to church, you know why? Why, Marge? Just go get your card punched. You know, I couldn't deny it. What does it mean to get your card punched? Get it over with. She said, no, you've got to be hungry. You've got to be hungry. You don't need your card punched. You've got to be thirsty. You've got to want what God has for you. She said, I don't go to church to get my card punched. I go to church to get filled with God so that I can make a difference when I come home. She told me that in 1969-70. And you know what? I wish she was wrong. There are so many people that go to church to get their card punched. It's time to go to church and receive the power of God.
I'm going to tell you this. I said this to the people at Holy Rosary. I'm going to say it to you. When the priest holds up the Eucharist, the precious body of the Lord, I'm telling you, he's going to heal you. And when the priest holds up the precious blood of Jesus, I'm telling you, he's going to heal you. Not that he wants to heal you. He's going to heal you. I told the people that Sunday, and we had healing. They don't get healed receiving the Eucharist because they're so used to it. So you know what? We're going to make another opportunity. When I hold up the body and blood of Christ, God's going to heal you. When any priest holds up the body and blood of Christ, God is going to heal you. Jesus is going to heal you. Do you hear me? Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. When the priest holds up the sacred host and the precious blood, Jesus is going to heal you. Believe it. I don't care who the priest is. It's Jesus who heals. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. One more time. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Tonight is Wednesday. We're going to be at the Espousal Retreat House. If you would like to come, we will be there at the Espousal Retreat House at 7:30. Come and join us in worshiping the Lord. Tonight is Wednesday. I believe it's the 13th of October. Come join us tonight at the Espousal Retreat House. And I also want to tell you this. On the 16th of October, that's Saturday, there's going to be a men's conference at St. Adelaide's in West Peabody. Men's conference at St. Adelaide's in West Peabody. Glenn Coppinger is going to be speaking, and it starts at 11 o'clock, and it's from 11 to 3, and there's no admission. You don't have to pay, but it's going to be a real blessing. So you go. You go. You go. It's so easy. St. Adelaide's is on Lowell Street. You go up Route 1, take the Lowell Street exit, and take a left. Take a left. And you'll find St. Adelini's on Lowell Street. I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.